Good afternoon and welcome to our radio broadcast, GBAP Live. We're heard here every Thursday afternoon from 3:30 to 4 p.m. right here on Radio 1400.am. You can always tune in, and we have our community information that's going on, and we tell you a lot about what's going on at GBAP. We are located at 1470 Barnum Avenue. We're right here in Bridgeport, and we provide an array of services to the community, including healthy relationships, HIV education and awareness. We do a teen fatherhood program. We have a housing program. We also have a mental health expansion of GBAP. We have a whole lot going on at GBAP. And so today, we just want again to expand our services to our guest. With me is Miss Lisa Anderson, and our special guest is none other than Miss Cherie Baldwin Mohammed. And she is an active member here in Bridgeport and also an educator. Welcome to GBAP Live.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
We're excited to have you join us in your services that you provide to Bridgeport. So tell us a little bit about Cherie.
Well, I am right now a kindergarten teacher. Mm-hmm. I teach at New Beginnings Family Academy. I've been there. This is my eighth year there. I started out actually as a para, an instructional assistant, because I had been working with children for, oh my goodness, almost 30 years now. Wow. And I was at the point where I kind of wanted to retire. Even though I'm not retirement age, I decided that I didn't necessarily want to teach a whole classroom, but I wanted to focus on helping individual students. Well, they knew my background because I have a master's in education, in addition to the fact that I was a director of childcare at the Stratford YMCA. Mm. I sat on the board to write the after-school mandates for the state of Connecticut, and I opened up a childcare for a corporation in Milford. So they knew that I had a lot of experience in addition to being a certified teacher. I'm certified K through 6. So they were like, no, you can't just sit and help one person at a time. So they decided that I was going to be the coordinator for the after-school program. And then eventually the after-school program phased out. And I was like, okay, now what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. So they asked me if I wanted to go back into the classroom as the head teacher. And I started out teaching fourth grade. And then I taught second grade. And then now I teach kindergarten, which is my love and my passion. Unfortunately, it isn't the same as it had been previously because of everything that's going on with COVID. Mm-hmm. So kindergarten is quite different compared to what my thoughts were, and then also what I had known kindergarten to be. I'm also an artist. Mm-hmm. I have a company called Divine Creations. I do sip and paint. I do visual art. And then I also have a summer camp that I work with children from K to about sixth grade, sometimes a little bit older, but the older kids sometimes may not want to come because it's focused on art. It's called Smart Art. Mm-hmm. So we incorporate art and academics and do a lot of the STEM, the science and math technology and doing different things like that with the arts. I'm also an author. So I have a lot of hats. I change them from time to time. So I am a domestic violence survivor. I have a book called Hide and Seek, A Journey to Life. It's a combination of poetry and narrative. It's poetry that I've written over the years as a way of healing and dealing with the traumatic experiences of being in a domestic violence situation with my ex-husband. So I do a lot of speaking during October and go out and talk in different organizations about domestic violence and my experiences with domestic violence.
Wow. So. We are excited to have you with your well-rounded array of services that you provide to the community. But more so, we want to touch a little bit more today about the children and what's going on today as it relates to you as an educator.
Okay.
Right? And so we have, we know what's going on in our community. Mm-hmm. We know what's going on in the world as it relates to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so how are you structuring your classes or your students to still be at that level where they have the learning capacity?
I think it's difficult in some aspects. And, okay, let me tell you what the difficulties. The difficulties for kindergarten is that a lot of the students cannot access the computer.
Right.
Our school is currently hybrid, and we just saw some information from the Board of Ed that all of the schools may be moving to remote.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not maybe. I'm not sure about our school, but the Board of Ed put it out there already that as of November 23rd the date that was discussed. The problem that I have with that is that for the younger children, it's very difficult. For the parents, it's very difficult. And my granddaughter is in the third grade, and her parents are kept her home, so she's completely remote. And accessing the computer, even though she's in third grade, is very difficult for her to jump from the different, she uses Microsoft Teams that she uses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she has to jump and navigate from classes to classes.
Wow.
There's breaks in between.
Grader?
Yes. So she has reading. So she'll go to the reading specialist, and then she'll jump back to her class. And then she has work to do on her own on the computer. And then she has some work to do with the classroom. And then they log off for a little while. They come back on for math and science and social studies. And it's a lot of navigating the computer, which most of the kids nowadays are very computer savvy,
right,
especially if it's a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's very difficult for my students is we're using Chromebooks. Now, the Chromebooks are difficult because they have to use that little square that's on the computer in order to move the mouse, unless their parents get a mouse that is adaptable to the computer, because we don't readily provide those.
Wow.
So the kids don't know what to do with the mouse. They're used to touch and click and pointing at things to access the tablet. My 2-year-old grandson can do that. But that's one of the drawbacks, because they're not able to independently do the assignments on the computer. And then what do you assign? Most of the things that we do in kindergarten are hands-on. They're art activities.
Wow.
They're manipulatives.
Yeah.
They're using things to count.
Yeah.
They're using, and now they're in front of a screen.
Mm-hmm.
The screen time for students is increased drastically. We were already concerned about the amount of time that children spend in front of video games, in front of the
television.
TV, you know, watching videos that they probably shouldn't necessarily be watching, because
right.
they're navigating and finding things on YouTube. So a lot of that has caused students to have so much time in front of a screen that they don't get social interaction with other peers.
Wow.
And that's one of the things that's lacking. That was a kind of back and forth between whether we should go remote, even though being in school, I would say, is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It's making the parents more accountable. A lot of times the parents would just send their kids to school.
Right.
They're done with it. They
mm-hmm.
don't have to think about the education of their child.
Right.
You know, there's some great parents, and then there's some not so great parents that are just relying on the
system.
Teachers and the system to educate their child.
Yeah.
Now it's a collaboration, and it has to be. So it was thrown into, okay, I have to sit with my son or my daughter to do this work, or they're not going to be able to excel.
Right.
Now, if there's a fabulous family who is really working with their child, they're able to make progress.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're not, then that's when they fall behind.
But do you think, though, that kindergarten, and what ages are we talking about?
Four and five. Not even just five. Some of them were four
five,
at the beginning
six.
Of the school year.
And so what do you think, sitting in front of a computer and not able to navigate, because they're quick learners too, but they're not be able to navigate from here to there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that does to them?
It's frustrating. It's frustrating for me, because sometimes I'm on the computer and I'm teaching them, My computer died one time. The internet was not working, and I could see that my computer was buffering, and I'm frozen for the kids. So they're like, Miss Baldwin Muhammad, where are you? And I could hear them, but they could not see me anymore because I disappeared. So I think it's frustrating. The attention span is, that's my point. I have to stand on my head basically on the computer in order to keep their attention because there's so many other things around them. There's parents walking around, they're getting ready for work. There's siblings running around, depending on if they have older siblings or their other sibling may be right next to them on the computer
as well. Yeah.
Trying to do their lesson. Mm-hmm. So there, I can hear in the background the other teacher talking to the child that is in front of the other computer that may be in the older grade or a younger grade. And they're trying to concentrate. And they can't because their toys are behind them. A lot of them don't necessarily have a desk or somewhere quiet that they can sit in order to do their work that they're required to do on the computer. And the sad thing about it, the state wants to give certain mandates as to how long they need to be on the computer. And my time frame is about 3-4 hours that I'm supposed to engage students on a screen.
Three
consecutive hours. We do have some break times, but what I found is that during the break times, I lose them because they have a 15-minute break. Wow. They can go to the bathroom. They can get a snack. You know, usually they're trying to get at 8 o'clock in the morning. They're just trying to figure out, okay, I have school. Am I up yet? Wiping the sleep out of their eyes. And sometimes the parents will give them breakfast and we discourage them from eating, but while we're on the screen because sometimes the kids, other kids don't have food to eat at the time. There's a lot of dynamics that it takes in order to educate a child on the computer more than just the, you know, giving them the knowledge. Is so many other things that are happening at home that aren't conducive to a learning environment.
But we were, even as us, as much time as we spent on Zoom, and it's maybe an hour and a half, and we find it like, if I have one more Zoom.
And sometimes the kids are crying. They're like, are we done yet? And they're literally crying. They're like, can we please get off the computer? I want to go play, or I want to go do this.
And we're talking about kindergarten.
Yeah, it's kindergarten. And, you know, back in the day, kindergarten was playtime. It was more social interaction. It wasn't necessarily learning how to read. Now they have to be able to read by the end of kindergarten, at least sight words and being able to connect the letter sounds together to form at least 3-letter words. There's a lot that needs to be done in such little time all the distractions.
Yeah, but do you think that you're able to reach that goal for them to be reading at that with the learning tools that you have, that you're not in front of them, you're not able to engage them? Because if they're tired, they're tired. If they don't get a good night's sleep.
No. I think what's going to happen is that a lot of the students are going to fall farther behind. And they're already behind. And we see with, you know, when we do the standardized test, third grade is the first time that they take the SBAC. And the scores were very low in the state of Connecticut, in Bridgeport in particular.
That's what I was going to say.
Right.
Bridgeport already has a low grade
right.
when it comes to the school system here.
Mm-hmm.
But this is definitely, if we start at kindergarten, just imagine high schoolers, middle schoolers, they're going to do what they want to do. And if they don't, are not able to keep up with the work, because I'm a visual learner. Mm-hmm. You got to stand before me. I did online classes. I struggled through them.
I couldn't do online class. My husband's doing online classes now. I don't know how he does it because I am kind of like the kids. It's like, okay, I have dishes to do.
Yeah.
I have cooking to do. I have to clean up the house. I would not be focused at home on education.
No.
I had to sit in my college classes in the front of the class because any noise that happens.
Distracts me.
On the side of me, or if this person was talking, or if that person was talking, I did not know what the teacher was talking about. And that's the thing, too. Even college is more on the computer now because they are not able to stay on the campuses.
Yeah.
So it's a total shift of how education is happening. And it puts a lot of responsibility now on parents to really work with their child.
And that
and I mean, yeah, we're actually their first teachers, but I don't think that we always look at it that way.
Right.
We
kind of like, oh, well, you know, they're going to learn all of that when they go to school.
Mm-mm.
And they're going to learn all of that, you know, when the teacher teaches them. Mm. And then there's so much difference between the math and
it
how
is.
We learned and how
it
we're
is.
Teaching
yes.
at school.
Yes.
And then I have some parents that were like, oh, I don't want to teach them the wrong way. And actually, it's more about critical thinking with the math and coming up with how you are able to get the answer, not necessarily the always the right answer.
Right.
And that's what sometimes parents struggle with, because we had to give an assessment to the students and they had to do it at home. The first time they did the assessment, I had students in kindergarten that were in third grade in math. And I was like, no, you can't help your child to the extent that you're giving them the answers, because when the computer generates
yes.
their lessons
mm-hmm.
on certain websites, based on how they answer. So if you help them, you're going to have to help them all the time now
right.
because they won't be able to independently do any of the work. So we had to keep resetting the questions, because everybody is so focused on making sure their child gets the right answer
right.
than worrying about the process
mm-hmm.
right.
and how they're
right.
applying what they
right.
already know and just leaving it at that. If they don't
yeah.
know it, it's
right.
okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
They're in kindergarten. They're four. They probably
yeah.
don't know everything. I know they don't know everything. But
wow.
it, parents are so, oh, but their report card. That I keep hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
Their report card. And I want them to get good grades.
But,
yeah, but
know,
it, go ahead.
That's societal. That's that conditioning that we have had to deal with all these years,
right.
and the traumatic experiences of when you are the A student who gets
right.
one B.
Right.
Mm. And a B is not a bad grade,
but
all the negative
right.
focus goes to the B.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Versus if a child is trying their best
mm-hmm.
and they get C's,
that's
okay.
That's okay. Right.
Yeah.
That's okay. You know, but we just, I don't know, a lot of the wrong things and the oxymorons that we contend with constantly on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's confusing for the adult, you know it's kids, man.
But I think the pressure
yeah.
that we put on them, even for
yes.
to learn
yes.
in their learning environment,
mm-hmm.
that they have to be, you have to get that A.
Yes.
Because then we as parents become failures
yes.
because our children had a C.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we put that, so in we enforce our own rules on
mm.
them being able to succeed,
right.
yep.
and that frustrates them in this type of learning environment. And as we do that, but thank God for you as that teacher who's able to engage them and keep them engaged. Because then again, kindergartens—I don't think every teacher is made for kindergarten.
Oh no,
mm-hmm.
no, no, no.
That's their
no.
beginning
stage no.
of their lives.
That's not on. I mean, the formative years of a child are between the time they're born until they're about 6-7 years old.
Yes,
everybody is not
exactly.
No.
And even some parents, because as
well,
we know, some parents that people got to work. And so they come up, I can't help you. You just turn on the computer for this one. Let him sit there. And then, you know, they about their business, because they got to bring the bread in
yes.
for to take care of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're struggling through this. You come back, you don't even know where they are in their learning process.
Right, right.
Yeah, this has been tough.
So we are, thank you, Ms. Cherie, for just helping us out today, understand what it is in that classroom to
to these kindergartens that you teach. So we are here on GBAP Live. We're talking to our guest, Ms. Cherie Baldwin, and Lisa Anderson is here in the studio, and we'll be right back with more of GBAP Live.
According to the CDC, COVID-19 can be spread by people who do not have symptoms and do not know that they are infected. That's why it is important for everyone to wear facial coverings in public places and practice social distancing. Facial covering is now a state and local requirement. It is also important to know that facial covering should not be worn by children younger than 2 years old, anyone who has trouble breathing, anyone who is unconscious, incapacitated, or otherwise unable to remove facial covering without assistance. For more information, visit GBAP's Instagram page at GBAPHIVDEPT or call 203-366-8255 and visit www.ct.gov/coronavirus. Cover up and save lives.
All right, here we are again at GBAP Live, and we're talking to Ms. Cherie Baldwin. Ms. Cherie is an educator here in Bridgeport, and we are talking about her kindergartners. Yes. And how they are learning during these strange times.
Yes. Yes.
That we're living in. So, again, I know, you know, you have really, really get involved in education with mm-hmm. your students. And so as we were learning, as we were understanding what it is and how do you do it, and we say, God bless you.
I love what I do. I love watching the young students, especially the young, because they're always excited about everything that you do, everything that they say. They're like a sponge. They soak in everything that you say. And it's so wonderful. Like today, there was a couple of students, and the levels of their what they can do are different. So there was one little boy, and he doesn't know any of the letters, and that's okay. But he gets so excited because at the beginning of the school year, he could not write his name at all. He couldn't form the letters. And he held up his whiteboard, and he's like, look, I wrote my name. And he did it. And I was so excited. Yes. And he was just so excited. Yes. And that is what brings more of the joy than whether they got an A or not.
Yes. Right.
Yes. Is that sense of accomplishment. Yes. And what I like to do as a teacher, no matter what grade I've taught, and I've taught all the way up to, even though I wasn't certified to teach eighth grade, they put me in during one of the times where they didn't have a teacher when I was teaching in New Haven. A teacher left, and I was in a seventh, eighth language arts class. And what I like to do is I observe students. I watch how they are learning, how they are receiving the information. I look at their facial expression. I try to pay attention to what their strengths are more than their weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And what I try to do is really hone on, if you're a super duper artist, then let's bring that in for you to show me that you know how to do the work that I'm asking you to do. So if you don't know how to maybe read something or stand in front of a class, maybe you can create a project where you can make an art project and display what you've learned.
See,
so I try to take what they're really good at, and especially with this kid who was struggling, he was like, oh my goodness, I can't even, and he would scribble on his paper, hold it up, and that was his name. Mm-hmm. Now he's actually forming the letters. And he was so excited today to hold up his tablet and say, look, I did it. And it was a combination of both. You know, at home, the parents have been working with him.
Yes.
And then at school, during the days that he comes, because he is one of the hybrid students, we work with him. We make little dots, and he traces it.
Yeah.
And now he's able to actually write it without the dots.
Amen.
And he was so excited. So I like to really celebrate the little things. And I think we need to really celebrate, you know, the little accomplishments. It's very difficult during these times. I think parents are doing a fabulous job trying to figure this out, because I had four kids. I was a single mother. I don't know how I would have been able to do this.
Right.
And I try to talk to the parents like that. You're doing a great job. you know, they ask a lot of questions. Well, what can I do? What can I do? And I am appreciative of mm-hmm. the times, because I do have a lot of communication with the parents. I talk to them about things that mm-hmm. they need to work on. If they have questions, they contact me. I have an app where they're not calling me on my phone necessarily, but they can reach me through my phone.
Right.
And I answer questions or help them navigate the websites and different things. And it's a learning process. I'm not all that great technology-wise. So we're all learning all of this together.
Everybody's,
you know, I think it's bringing together in some aspects community mm-hmm. because we have to rally together now.
We have
to rally together, all of the different agencies and, you know, all of the things that GPAP is doing and mm-hmm. other agencies. And my husband owns a tutoring agency, so he's work pitching in to help mm-hmm. students that are able to do their work there, and with him assisting, because sometimes the parents can't do it, or they don't have grandma or grandpa, so they need somebody that can step in. So there's all different types of organizations that are really stepping in and mm-hmm. offering, okay, do you need assistance with this? Do you need assistance with that? So I think it's bringing a lot of different people together that wouldn't necessarily be working together.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think COVID is doing some stuff.
Yeah. Well, it is. There's you know, one of the things, again, like I always share about COVID, you know, for the negative, we understand the negative.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some positives that are coming up out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to seize those positives and celebrate where we're going and what we accomplished and have overcome because of being put in positions that we would not normally mm-hmm. be put in.
That's right.
But I do have one question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you take, how has art incorporated in the classroom or via the screen been a help or the freedom? Because children learn differently.
Right.
And each child learns differently.
Mm-hmm.
So how has art played a part in your classroom?
I wish it played more of a part.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that our school did do away with, which hurt me to my heart, was art.
Really?
Yes. So we no longer have an art teacher.
No.
But I always try to, like today, we use the little dot. The bingo mm-hmm, dot mm-hmm. markers.
Okay.
And we were talking about greater than and less than. And I gave them two different colors. And they put the little dots on one side. And they made a certain number on one side. And then they made another number. And we've been talking about a little alligator. The alligator likes to eat the number. That's the bigger number. So I gave them a piece of paper that was shaped in a, you know, the sideways V, the greater than, less than mm-hmm. sign.
Yes,
but
yes,
we talked about the alligator and the fact that the alligator wanted to eat the bigger number, and they had to position their symbol to the side that had the most.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to incorporate art as much as I can. We created leaf paintings. We created leaf collages.
Yes.
We went out and collected leaves. So I try to do different things that where they're still getting hands-on activities and they're still being able to create artistically.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard because we can't share materials.
Right.
So
right.
I think that was one of the reasons why the art was done away with.
Put arts back in school.
That's right. That's right. Because I think you mentioned your student who struggled a little bit with just, you know, writing.
Mm-hmm.
But if he drew something and he'll show it, he's excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
So you could use that as an inspiration for him to say, okay, you can do better. You can do this. So art is like really important.
It helps with your creativity
in mm-hmm. how you do things, because he could learn from a whole different way
mm-hmm.
just through art.
Yeah.
And even the dots that you do, it's artistic, but that's his way of learning. And so put art back in the school. And so we are, thank you for sharing with us today.
Thank you.
We are, again, living through a time we've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to be creative in your own way, in your own teaching expertise as a teacher, we applaud you. to be doing that throughout. You know, and just to help, because again, these are their formative years, and you're helping them, you're guiding them into becoming the great citizen that you want them to be. So we thank you for doing that and using your artistic ability. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is GBAP Live, and we are here every Thursday afternoon from 3:30 to 4 p.m. here on Radio 1400.am. Again, challenges create opportunities. And so whatever you do, just look for the good in it, and you'll find your way through. Thank you for tuning in.